Okay, Papuna, your father, he was had a grocery market or a produce stand?
No, my father happened to be a merchant in Macri, which is CTA now. Uh-huh. But he didn't want me.
English Island, no?
No, he's in the Asia Minor, across from Rhodes. Because Rhodes, it wasn't very much of an opportunity for people to make a living along, so therefore they have to emigrate to the Asia Minor, to different cities, to make their living.
How long was he in Asia Minor?
He was there all his life, until I brought him over here. Now, I came to this country here, I left there in 1912, and I came directly to Los Angeles. And I came here in January 1913. It took me about 2 months to get here.
Two months, yes.
Because I had to stay.
It took us 3 months.
Yes.
To come.
So when we came, when I came to Los Angeles, it was here probably about 25 to 30 people, Sephardim, okay. Already. Should I give you the names of the old ones?
Yeah.
Among the, but the Rhodes Lees, it was Marco Tarica, which was the Marco Tarica, the father of Dr. Tarica, the dentist.
Uh-huh.
And he was the oldest man over here.
Okay.
And he organized. I mean, he organized more like a society, and collecting 10 cents a week. So that money can be used for helping the people to be when they're sick, or in the meantime have more like a small community of Sephardim, because there were we didn't know very much of the Ashkenazim over here, and we were separated. You know, we didn't mix very much, and in the meantime there were here about Louis Benveniste, Yachon Benveniste. Ruben,
no, I don't.
No, you don't want it.
No.
All right. And then also there were a few from Brusa, which is the Karakul family.
Brussels?
No, Brusa, from Brusa, Turkey.
Oh.
Brusa, and some from Istanbul, and some from Saloniki.
Yeah.
Most of them, but all together. We were about 35 people that time, and they organized. And about 1914, by the first of 1914, the Los Angeles Sephardic. Now, by 1914, the community came to run. 50 people, 50 between families and singles, most of them singles, and married men. And then they organized this community together. And those days we put the name Avat Shalom.
Uh-huh.
1 year, and the second year we have services together, we rent a hall, and we start to cooperate together. Suddenly, the majority, don't you want this?
Yeah.
The majority of the members, they were from Rhodes. And there was a little minority of them, which are about 15 to 18 people of their own, and they want to dominate us. So in the services, they wanted their own custom, and we wanted different customs. So therefore, we couldn't get along together, so we separated.
The Rhodes Lees from the others.
The Rhodes Lees from the other ones. So we formed the organization, which in 1916 we separated. We couldn't get along together. In 1917 we organized our own, and we have services of our own in the different places like they did. But of course our community, our organization used to call the Peace and Progress Society.
Mm-hmm.
Then later it was changed to Sephardic Hebrew Center and continued to grow.
Was Ahavat Shalom?
Ahavat Shalom. It was most of Stambouli. Yes, they were chartered
with the
state, and also other organization was chartered in Peace and Progress Society. Now that group of Ahavat Shalom that was remain over there, it happened to be from different. The Peace and Progress Society was practically 99% was from Rhodes. And the other group, which was from Smyrna, from Salonika, from Istanbul, from Bursa, they were together and with the Ahavat Shalom for a couple of years, for a few years. Then they couldn't get along together. They split in two. And then they organized one, they called themselves Chaim V'Chesed, which is now, it then later became Sephardic Brotherhood, which now they're joined, some of the members they joined with the Comunidad now again.
Right.
Now, then the Sephardic Comunidad, which is today the other section, in 1918 or 19, they organized themselves under the name of Sephardic Comunidad. And then they called themselves the Temple Teferet Israel today. They are most of it from Istanbul, from Salonika, from Smyrna, and Bursa. But they are Sephardic from Rhodes, they still are 100%, 90% now are from Rhodes, and we are progressing, and we have our own temple on 51st. When we organized in 1917, the first thing we did was we bought the old B'nai B'rith temple on 17th in Georgia, the neighboring temple is large, on 17th in Georgia. And from there, we stayed there 4 or 5 years. Then we came over on 55th in Hoover, and we built a temple over there, which we stayed there for about 15 or 18 years. And then when the neighborhood has changed, we moved to Slauson and Fairfax. Now the Sephardim, originally we were living in the southeast of the city, downtown, between 6th and Pico, and between Maple and Central. I mean east and west.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
And then in 10 years time, the community living conditions has changed. They all moved towards the southwest, which is on between 55th in Hoover, between Figueroa and all the way to Western.
Right.
And now most of the members, they moved towards Crenshaw, and they bought the land on Fairfax and over here. Now the condition has, every 10, 15 years, the population changed the places where they are, see?
Mm-hmm.
That's why in due time, most of our members now, they're moving towards the valley and they're gonna stay there. And I hope they'll stay there.
Shut this off. Okay.
When we Sephardic came over here, the first services, it was made on 6th in Main Street at the Burbank Hall. And we did not have no Sefer Torah or nothing. So we have to go out to the Ashkenazim and ask to rent, loan us a couple of Sefer Torah. Mr. Tarika and myself, I used to go there and pick them up and return back right after the holiday. And the charges was no charges. They refused to take any money from us.
How old were you?
I was about 19 to 20.
No, thank you.
So I was 19 to 20 in those days.
Okay, I'll have a little.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is the thing. And after that, year in, year out, we used to go to on Temple Street. There was a Beth Israel Temple. Beth Israel.
Eskenazi
Temple. And we used to make ourselves to show that we were Sephardic. Nobody knew us very well to see that what kind of Jews we were.
Yeah.
Because we speak Spanish and French and Turkish. We could not speak in Hebrew, but we could not speak Yiddish.
Uh-huh.
So when I used to go, when Mr. Tariq and I, and also Joseph Mayo, we used to go to the first organized Yiddish-Kenazi organization, such as the Jewish Federation, and today is Los Angeles Community Council, representing the whole Sephardic community. And people over there, the Ashkenazi, used to speak most of it in Yiddish.
Did you have to like prove to them that you were Jewish in some way?
They find it out after they saw we're reading and everything, and they got well acquainted with us, and they liked us, they know us. So we were invited to the Jewish Federation to attend their meetings and all the activities of the Jewish activities.
And that was at the beginning.
And then when we used to go to the meeting, and most of the Ashkenazim, they used to speak Yiddish. So finally, I asked Dr. Reynolds, on those days he was the president of Sinai Temple, which their first temple was the second temple in Los Angeles, which it was, the first one was the Bnei Brit Temple, which today is the Wishart Temple, on 9th and Hope.
Uh-huh.
And Sinai Temple was on 11th in Valencia. And Dr. Reynolds was the president of that temple in those days. And he used to come over, and he was trying to help us out. He was more helpful than anybody in Los Angeles, Dr. Reynolds, or the president of the Sinai Temple.
And he was trying to help out the Ahavat Shalom, or
the Peace and Progress.
Ah.
And he knew more about the Sephardim than we knew ourselves. So he was good enough to come over every holidays in our halls, uh-huh, and give us a lecture about the Sephardim, about the history of the Sephardim of Spain to us, which we even ourselves we didn't know as much he knew. So he invited us to go to the to take part in the Jewish activities in the Jewish Federation. So we happened to go there. And finally I said, we no use for us to come over here because we cannot understand Yiddish. Then he got up, he says, those people who cannot speak English, then they are allowed to speak Yiddish and be translated and explain it to the other ones. Because Jewish people, he explained, are from all over the world. And therefore everybody speaks different language, and we speak Yiddish, but the other ones, they speak different languages, Spanish, Chinese, different kind. So therefore, urge everybody to speak English as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very good.
This temple started off being very nice to you?
The Sinai Temple? Uh-huh. I mean Sinai, yes. Well, the president, especially.
Were the Ashkenazi Temple always nice to the Sephardim?
Oh, yes.
Always,
yes.
Huh?
Always, yes.
And you reciprocated, huh?
Yes, well, they always help us out, because when we needed anything, they were glad to help us out.
Mm-hmm.
They've always been helpful. As long as they know that we are Sephardic Jews, uh-huh, they help us out. And we never have no difficulties of making ourselves understand, especially between myself, Joe Mayo, Mr. Tariqa, which took active part in the activities of the Sephardim in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh. But they were separated, huh?
We were separated, and we became three organizations instead of one. There were the Peace and Progress Society, the Sephardic Comunidad, and also the Chaim Vahesa.
Uh-huh.
But today, there are more than three. Today we have the Sephardic Hebrew Center, the Comunidad, and the Benevolent society, which part of the members of the Chaim Verhetze, they didn't stay with the comunidad, they didn't go with the comunidad. Mm-hmm. And also there's one or two more Sephardic organization here, which is the people came in from Salonika. They call themselves Mark and David is the Syrian Jews. They have a temple today at present time at Melrose, west of Melrose and La Brea. Mm-hmm. Melrose, La Brea. The Greeks, those that came from Salonika, which they were after the war, they are meeting themselves in different halls, and some of them they are members of the comunidad. They make part of the comunidad.
When the Ahavat Shalom, when that split up, the Sephardics from Rhodes, they started their own.
We started our own, and we went straight through about 99% all from Rhodes.
And the other group,
they separated themselves for a couple of years, and then finally they split, and they made it in two, which was the Chaim Verhetze and the Comunidad.
When they were splitting, did they have, when you were the Ahavat Shalom, is that when you were renting or using the Torahs of the other temples?
Yes.
And what was the time when you were taking the Torah through the streets?
Yeah, after our members, they donate, some of our members donate two Torahs for the temple because...
What year was that?
About 1915, around 14 or 15. Our members donated, belongs to this members of from Rhodes, they brought in two Torahs. And those Torahs were in their possession. So when we came to split, according to the decision made up by the referee appointed by the court, he made that the Torah should go to us, so we took the Torahs, and I happened to go myself and picked it up, and took them over to Mr. Tarika's house
through the streetcar.
on the streetcar, because that's the only way we have transportation to go over there.
Was it a long ride?
No, straight through from because it happened to be on 17 Kip Street, which today is Hilton Stafford Hotel, to 17 and 7 east of San Pietro on 7th Street. I think it's Cracker Street. Uh-huh. Cracker Street, yeah. Over Mr. Tarika's house. And he kept it over there, a special room with the Torahs, with the light and everything, kept it as a religious sanctuary. La sala lo cerraba.
Huh?
La sala la usaraba, la guardaba y usaba en el dining room solo.
Yeah. Were they Rhodesleys? Torahs?
Yeah, 99% were Rhodesleys, and we have our own Torahs.
The Torahs, were they from Rhodes?
They were brought in from different places. I don't know, it might be from New York.
Uh-huh.
And then it was donated by some of our people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so the Rhodesleys kept those two.
Yeah.
And they started their Peace and Progress Party.
We have our own.
Do you know what year the Ahavat Shalom started?
Ahavat Shalom, it started, I think, 1918 or 19.
18 or 19?
Yeah, 18. Because the Ahavat Shalom, it was 1913.
1913?
13. Because when I came in, the first president was Yaakov Haim.
Uh-huh.
He was the first president. And then, but the next year, I took over as secretary. I was the secretary of the organization. And then we couldn't get along together because they have a different system and we have different customs. They didn't want to carry on the majority rule, so we split.
You came in January of 1913.
Yes, 1914 it happened.
How did they get a crear la organización
1913. We have a meeting which we had about probably about 35 to 40 members. And we organized the Abate Shalom, and Jake Yakovayim was the president.
He was
from Saloniki. And after that, after Yakovayim, then we split, because after the second year, we couldn't get along with them, so we split.
You weren't treasurer, huh? You were secretary?
No, I was secretary.
How many people that were Sephardic that were from the old country, were all of them members of the
We were about 37 members. When I took a secretary, we were about 37 members from
families.
All these families. Well, not all families, but most of them singles.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because most of we came here young fellas. We were 37 from Rhodes, and about 14 to 15 from the other countries, such as Salonika, Izmir, and Now, even though we split today, since the 1920 and 1925, the both temples, the three temples, we always cooperate in a lot of activities, the members, and we got more acquainted, and then finally we formed back in 1928 when the depression came down, and a lot of our people were, coming in from New York over here to find jobs. And then we organized the what they call the secret funds, and the three temples we organized, and we formed the council, Sephardic Council, which never did do very much, but they tried, but we never could accomplish very much.
And now
it's still today, we're not there, just
a name.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. I was wondering that there were so many families here, Rhodelese families here in the 1910s and 20s. I was wondering, did all the Rhodelese belong to the temple?
Yeah, most.
Everybody?
Yeah, 100%.
What about my grandfather Aaron, his brother Rahami?
He died before he died in 1913.
Was he a member also?
No, he might be paid 10 cents in 1913.
That was a membership dues?
1912, yeah. 10 cents a week.
Oh, 10 cents a week?
Yeah. Might be did, but I didn't know. I only saw him very little when I came here and he died.
Uh-huh.
See, I only saw him maybe once or twice.
And when you came over here from Rhodes, I heard a lot of people came over in a boat with maybe hundreds of people.
Yeah.
But when you came over here, was it with many people or how many? On the
Sephardim?
Yeah, from Rhodes.
Rhodes? Not only myself on the boat.
You're all by yourself?
All by myself. And a Greek fellow from Rhodes, from Megri, he came along with me on the boat.
Greek.
But I was all along coming over here.
And you were the only Sephardic on the boat?
Sephardic on the boat, yeah.
But most of the time, what I've heard...
Yeah, it was bunches.
Yeah. You took a different boat, though.
Different boat, yeah. Yeah, I came all along.
Yeah.
For some reason,
To escape the army.
Yeah,
the
escape
army.
The army.
Hey, you know what? I was talking to Mrs. Badler, Randy's mom, and her father, he was in Salonika. He escaped the army also.
Everybody. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason most of the Sephardim, they came over here, it was two reasons. First, there was no opportunity in Turkey,
uh-huh,
in those days to be himself independent merchant. because the big guys was controlling everything, and there was no chance to be to opportunity for the young element. When most of the boys are young element in Turkey, they at young age, they went to school and learned the French and learned different languages and well educated, so they opened their eyes and they saw the opportunity in South America and North America and in different countries. So therefore, they have their eyes always to come to immigrate to those countries all the time. When the Sultan was overthrown and it became a republic, Turkey, and then they give the freedom to the Jewish people and the Greeks, and when they give that, you know, and they says you people have to serve the army just the same as the Turkish does. Before the Greeks and the Jews never was they didn't have to go to the service.
The Greeks and the Jews
didn't. And the Jews didn't have to, but when this thing happened. So every Jew, every man has to go to the service. It's the same thing as the Turkish.
If you're Greek or not.
Not.
And when did that
whether you're Turk or not.
Around the turn of the century?
Yeah, in 1910.
That was bad
timing. Yeah. So therefore, there were two reasons that the people emigrated over here. There was no, first of all, is the army, which they used to pay what they call bedel, which is $50 every time they call you. They can call you 2-3 times in a year, and you have to keep on paying 50 English pounds and Turkish pounds, which is a lot of money, gold, and it has to be gold, and everybody could not make 50 English pounds in a whole year. It was very condition was very bad in Turkey. So therefore, people say there is no hope in Turkey because in account of the army, and there was no opportunity, they came to this land here. So when some of the Sephardim, they start coming to North America, and they used to send money right away in 2-3 months they were here, they used to send enough money, well, they never made it that much in 1 year, in 2 years in Turkey.
How about the Sephardim in Africa? Didn't they go to
nobody of the Sephardim went to Africa until the United States closed the doors to come over here. Around 28 or 30, you know, in the presidential, they didn't want nobody to come over here take their jobs away.
What, the steak? Medium. Yeah.
Mine well done. So, you know.
So the United States is first.
The United States first. So people start coming in here. And the first place to go was to New York. Uh-huh. Most of Sephardim stopped in New York. From New York, then we start to move west, which was Seattle and Portland and Atlanta. And then after Montgomery, and then after Los Angeles in 1910, they started coming to Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
But the originally, the 1907 and things like that, they all went as far as Seattle and emigrated over there, most of the Sephardim. And today...
But they what?
They emigrated into, established themselves in Seattle,
uh-huh.
And then after Portland. And from there...